Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Hi, and welcome to a unique edition of our show today, where I'm going to take a back seat and let another radio special take the highlight. This was a radio special I did not produce, but it was produced in 1990 by Word Records to highlight a brand new album coming out on the Word label, The Happy Goodman Family Reunion. Howard and Vestal Goodman, Sam Goodman, and Rusty Goodman, they had all split off into individual ministry. But in the early 90s, they came back for this reunion album, and what you're about to hear is a radio special to help promote that album back in the early 90s by Word Records. You're going to hear stories from Howard, Vestal, Rusty, and Sam, and some industry favorites and friends who stopped by to brag on the Goodmans a little bit. I think you're going to enjoy this. Any fan of the Goodmans will know that the stories just seem to come and come and come. Some of the stories have humor involved. Many display the power of God. Now, to highlight the reunion record from 1990, the Happy Goodman Family, here is the radio special as heard on radio stations around the country and produced by Word Records.
A lot of folks ask us, where did the word happy come from?
You talk about excitement in me. I am wired and ready to go.
When I heard that, my ears perked up and I said, wow, what is this?
This is the Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special. Listen in on an hour of memories from the first family of gospel music. The occasion is the release of their brand new album, their first in 10 years. It's on Word Records and it's called, what else, The Reunion. We'll hear a lot of music from that album, some old friends may drop by, and we'll just have a good visit with the Goodmans. The group consisted of various members in the early years, but when most people think of the Happy Goodman family, they think of these four people. The three brothers, Howard, Sam, and Rusty, and Howard's wife, Vestal. They've sung for presidents, played to packed houses all over the world. They've sold millions of records, and pioneered a lot of the territory that gospel music now takes for granted. Well, we've got 10 years of catching up to do, so Vestal starts things off by telling us what she and Howard have been doing since 1980.
When we first left the group, we went to California and did a series of television programs for Trinity Broadcasting, right. Paul Kratz and them. We did 50-something weeks of shows, 26 weeks, which was 52 weeks of shows, and they ran that a long time. Then we did just church work. Then we did a lot of Christian television all over the country, and mainly churches.
Yeah,
just churches, church after church for revival. A few, no, we didn't do more than two or three concerts would be the max for us. But we do many concerts in our revivals.
Yeah.
Rick has never turned loose the idea of the family getting back together, and for the last two or three years, it's just been almost top priority for him.
Yeah.
And when he felt like that he was really pulling it together and started saying, Mother, you better look at this song. Now, you need to check this song. You need to call Uncle Rusty and encourage Uncle Rusty to write a new song because the family is fixing to record an album together. This concert tour with the Happy Goodman family.
The reunion tour.
The reunion tour has got excitement in me. You talk about excitement in me. I am wired and ready to go. When I walked in that studio, the first time that they hit that music and these four voices started to singing again, I knew this is it.
I guess I was the next dropout of the family. Rusty and myself kept the family going for a couple of years, but God moved on our lives to go a different direction, a new direction for our own personal ministry, and elevating God and what He'd done in the past. And I came home and told my wife, I said, baby, I've quit the family. I've got to preach, and I've got to sing full-time in evangelistic work. Barbara is a praying woman, and she said, Daddy, I can't sing a special song or play any instruments, but said, I'll go with you and help you pray. For the past 10 years, Barbara and I have traveled all over the United States, traveling up and down the highways, flying, Christian television, doing things that we would just absolutely love. And then for 6 years or 7 years that went on, and then the talk began and a family reunion. Well, our first love is our family. First love is God, but then family, you know, is next. And then I said, well, I can't do it. I just, God's blessed us too much in what we're doing. Would we be backing up? Or would the call leave our lives? And Barbara again, she said, let's pray about it. We prayed a long time and listened to a lot of proposals. And the day they came in that restaurant, and Howard Johnson's here in Nashville, Tennessee, and said, if we will do a family reunion tour and record, it will not interfere whatsoever in what you're doing now. And that was, I know, Vestal, that was the greatest word you'd heard.
Yeah, that was tremendous.
And that was, I said, I looked at Barbara. She was crying. She said, we'll do it. And we signed the contracts, and then I walked in that studio, and I heard those electrifying musicians strike that happy chord again that I knew was Happy Goodman Family.
That's right.
Then I was elated, and I became like a kid with a new toy.
I guess after you left, I tried to keep something going called Rusty Goodman and the Family Band.
Mm-hmm.
Made a couple of albums for Canon and a couple of good records. I felt like they were good records, and they felt like they were good records. And I had a fledging writer in my family. I have two daughters, Tracy and Tanya. And of course, Tanya was a fledging songwriter and began to really come out as a singer along about that time too. And her husband, Michael Sykes, whom she had married before you and I, Sam,
mm-hmm.
had split our group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, had gone our separate ways. And she had married Michael Sykes. And so I kept a group going called Rusty Goodman and the Family Band, made a couple of records. But in 1986 in Chicago, I was doing a concert Sunday night in October. And I began to have chills and fever, and was rushed to the hospital and found out that I had a blood clot in my right leg, later diagnosed as having metastatic prostate cancer. But through a lot of, this was in 86, October, but through a lot of prayer and modern medicine and technology of the doctors and the hand of God. I'm not going to take anything from the doctors because I know
no.
that they have done a tremendous job. I went through a terrible siege of weight loss, hair loss, got down to 160-something pounds. But today I'm busting at the seams of 200.
And your hair all come back?
And I got more hair than I've ever had. And I got to get a haircut.
And you never sung better.
Before salvation in a far and distant land, two rusty nails pierced two there a man named Jesus for silver was sold on an old rugged cross. Love's story was told.
After all these trials, and I thought, Lord, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I haven't sung. During this time, I had just had a few concerts. And I thought, I can't do it. I'm not going to have a voice. It's not going to be there. But I got a supernatural touch.
Right.
That came. And the huskiness and the edge began to come back to my voice that I hadn't had in months.
Rusty, when you got in the studio and you were worried about whether or not you would have the voice to do it, but all of the edge came back in your voice, the crisp sound of Rusty Goodman came back.
Yeah.
And I can brag on you if I want to. You're the greatest singer alive. And when I heard that, you know what I knew had happened? You had said, as all of us have said, God, we give back to you the talent that you gave us.
There's one thing for sure, though, that our personal ministry, we're not going to drop that.
No.
Sam's not going to drop his. You're not going to drop yours. But this is a collective get-together reunion tour. It's reuniting the family once again together.
And you're listening to the Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special. The Goodmans have seen a lot of history, and you're about to hear some fascinating stories, taking us all the way back to the 1930s and the roots of the Happy Goodman family. Howard remembers how the group got its name.
We'd been to church one night and had an old Model A Ford, Model A. Them things didn't burn a lot of gas.
It had us, didn't it?
It had us. They didn't burn a lot of gas, but we didn't have money enough, really, to buy a gallon of gas to get back home from church. Mm-hmm. We got nearly home and ran out of gas.
How much did gas cost back then, Aaron?
Oh, 15 cents. 10, 15 cents a gallon, I paid a many a 9 cents a gallon for gas.
Before our time.
Told you, Vesta.
And before your time, you were little kids then. But anyhow, we were pushing that car to get up on top of the hill. And Mom and Dad was there. And of course, you know, you remember our dad as an old man. See, Dad, he was 50 years old when he and Mom married.
Right.
And she was 25. He was exactly twice as old as her. Mm-hmm. Then they had 8 children. And I'm the oldest.
So there were 7 kids out there pushing the car.
Not all. Maybe, I don't know. There's maybe some younger than you. I've told you about it. You don't remember. But got up on top of that hill, and everybody was laughing because we wanted to get it up there where it would roll, and it could roll a long ways in them Alabama hills. Mm-hmm. And everybody was laughing, and Mom just fell out. Our mother said, "This has to be the Happy Goodman family."
But when we started
but
singing,
but it started
now,
then.
But now wait a minute. Now, how many was singing at that time?
Well, there wasn't but about 2 that was big enough to sing. It's me and our oldest sister, Gussie.
Maybe
Stella.
Stella
might have been, but the rest.
That's a trio.
Yeah, but the rest wasn't hardly able to sing. You know,
wasn't big enough.
Wasn't big enough.
But now, Howard, the first time I saw any picture of any of this group that they said, "This is the Happy Goodman family," it was you and...
What is your name?
I'm just here.
Where'd you come from?
The first one...
You're not here yet.
But the first pictures I saw, though, Rusty, was Howard and Ruth and Stella and Eloise.
Yeah,
that's when you were singing with C.T. Douglas in Birmingham.
Right.
On radio.
Yeah.
But they were still called a trio.
They still called, but they were the Happy Goodman.
We were not referred to then. They kind of dropped the happy part for a while, and they called us a trio then because it wasn't
Goodman Trio.
And Brother Douglas, he had called us the Goodman Trio. And actually, honey, Vestal, that happened on Sunday morning, December the 7th, 1941.
Y'all did a lot of radio. Sung on the radio.
We were singing on the radio when that happened. And it came over the radio that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. And then it shut us down, naturally. The news took over. And I'll never forget that morning. It was a very, very sad day. Everybody sit in the studio and everybody sit there and cried and wept. And we didn't know really what we was weeping about, because we didn't know the horror of World War II until later on. But it was
Howard,
a terrible thing.
Our gospel music, though, survived that.
And came alive, actually came alive.
Because people were looking for something that would make them happy.
That was during the time.
They could hear us. We would be on a megaphone.
We didn't have any trouble getting a crowd in the church.
Somebody made a statement.
We'd go in a church, and the churches were packed because people were hunting peace. They wanted some consolation of something. But here is the thing, and you boys, Rusty and Sam and Vessel sitting here, and myself, all four of us know that the thing that kept us alive was singing something that was some truth was behind
from
it.
From within us.
Now, we sung about the boys in service. Mm-hmm. They wrote songs like that. Mm-hmm. The Leuven brothers came up, Ira and Charlie Leuven, way back then, with a song that we recorded, Weapon of Prayer. Do you remember that? But that done something to the people. That's what they wanted to hear, some consoling words. So that, to me, gospel music is good news. See, gospel means good news.
Oh, will the Lord be with me when I go through the valley? Will he walk beside me? Will he hold my hand when it's time to cross that chilly Jordan River? Will he guide me to that blessed promised land? Oh, will the Lord be standing somewhere round my bedside when the doctor shakes his head and walks away? Will I hear him whisper, I am with thee? Will he lead me to that land of endless day? And will I enter Jordan dark valley?
So far, we've heard just a couple of the 12 great songs on the new Happy Goodman Family album, The Reunion. And we've covered the 1930s and most of the 1940s. But the best is yet to come for the Goodmans. In just a moment, Howard, Vestal, Sam, and Rusty reminisce about the 50s and 60s. Bill Gaither talks about the group's impact on him and on gospel music. And we'll take you to a live Goodmans concert from 1951. Don't go away.
I'm Daniel Britt, and you're listening to a special edition of Daniel Britt and Friends as we mingle in a radio special from 1990. It was debuting the new album at that time by the Happy Goodman Family, Reunion. Howard and Vestal had split off from Rusty, who had split off from Sam, and they were doing individual ministry. But in 1990, they came back and did this Reunion album, which would probably be one of the last times the family was together. What you're listening to today is a radio special produced by Word Records at that time to help promote that album. Now back to that special. As we hear stories from Howard, Vestal, Rusty, and Sam, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Thank you. Thank you, Wally, and we are very happy to be here tonight at the Ryman Auditorium here in Nashville, Tennessee, singing for a lot of our friends on this very first Friday night in 1951 for the Wally Fowler Monthly All-Night Sing. I want you to listen now to a song that we'll soon have on our new record, Thank God I'm in His Care.
I thank my God I'm in His care.
One day as I was walking down the lonesome road, the Spirit spoke unto me, and it filled my heart with joy. One day as I was walking down the lonesome road, singing, I thank my God I'm in His care. Oh Lord,
I am in His care, in my Savior's care. I am in His care, in my Savior's care.
Fowler All-Night Sings in the late 40s and early 50s catapulted the Goodmans to a new level of popularity. One of gospel music's finest singer-songwriters, Bill Gaither, remembers getting to know the group as the Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special continues.
The first time I actually heard the Happy Goodman Family dated way back to the Ryman Auditorium in 1949, probably, with Howard and Sam and Rusty and their sisters. But the first time I really heard them seriously was on record after they had gone to Canaan and they had made the I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now tune. And when I heard that, my ears perked up and I said, wow, what is this? Such excitement that could happen only when those four people started singing, Vestal and Howard and Sam and Rusty. And over the years, I have, got to know them a lot better personally and have found them to be wonderfully warm, committed people who really love Jesus and very, very unique in their presentation. I don't think gospel music was the same after they came by with their particular brand of singing.
I am finished there in my Savior's care. I am in His care in my Savior's care.
Jesus got His arms wrapped all around me. No evil thought can ever harm me, 'cause
I thank my God I'm in His care.
You were traveling and singing, and that's when you first started coming to Nashville.
Yeah.
To the all-night singing.
All-night.
I guess then you came to your first one in 48, and by then you've got Sam and Rusty or
Junior and Charles.
Junior and Charles.
And even
Gussie and Stella and Eloise and Ruth and Bobby Ray and Jimmy and LaBrisca.
Yeah. Oh. I'm kind of curious as to what we was traveling in.
Ask me.
Rusty.
We had, I mean, at that 48, you come in 1948.
We traveled in anything that anybody would sell us on credit.
In 48.
And not require a down payment.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. A little silver and a little. Where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never go.
Even the girls were singing with us, that we were at a concert in Savannah, Tennessee with the Spear family. And we had come off the stage from singing, and Dad Spear came around and sat down by me, put his arm around me and said, Vestal, I saw you a while ago and I need to tell you what I saw you doing. He said, I saw you not just singing, but I saw you preaching the word with all of your heart. I said, no, Dad Spear, you don't know what you're talking about. Because, see, he didn't know that my daddy had told me that all my life, and I didn't want to hear it because I wasn't fixing to. And here God sent this precious old saint of God, Dad Spear, around to put his arm around me at a concert that night and say, get ready, you're going to preach the word too.
The 50s were a decade of change for the Happy Goodman family. Their home base changed almost yearly, and the U.S. military would eventually borrow the services of both Sam and Rusty for duty in the Korean War.
I volunteered. They've got good. They was, and I didn't volunteer because I was brave.
No.
It was the coward's way out, the way I looked at it.
You didn't want to go to the Army.
I didn't want to go to the Army.
Ground pounding.
Because them guys was going out, they was going to leave, and they was taking
weeks. Well, you went in the Air Force, and you're afraid to ride airplanes. If y'all will remember, though, back then, back in the late 40s and early 50s, a group
such as the Happy Goodman family at that particular time, as we were beginning to be known as, any group would seek a new territory. If there was a radio station that had a far-reaching signal, or a television. The television hadn't happened.
No.
At that particular time.
52 is when we moved from Wingo, Kentucky to Evansville. And we moved from Wingo, Kentucky to Evansville because the radio station in Mayfield, Kentucky was not reaching out that far then.
Right.
And they had a radio station in Evansville that would reach out farther. So we moved to Evansville and went on that radio station up there and didn't do any good there. So we bought that big old house and couldn't do nothing with it. So then we left there. There's a radio station down in Swainsboro, Georgia that's just booming everywhere. And the man has built a big auditorium and he's going to sponsor our concerts and everything.
Good there.
And we moved to Swainsboro for a year and did fabulous
in
Swainsboro.
That's where I was drafted from.
And Rusty got drafted in Swainsboro and went
just when we was doing
just
good.
When we were doing good, Rusty left us. Then we stayed there a year, and then television opened. Boy, live television.
You remember what happened while we were there at that radio station, WJAT, in Swainsboro, Georgia, at the auditorium, the very first concert they had in that auditorium, do you remember who the guest group was?
I do.
No,
you do.
The Lewis family.
The Lewis family.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
And we paid them, I never will forget, paid them $50 to come, and Pop Lewis said, we've never accepted a dime for
that
our singing.
That was their first job.
That was the first money they ever received.
Yeah. And Little Roy Little Roy then.
Little Roy was 8 years old.
Beautiful.
And stood on
and we helped them get a recording contract on White Church Records.
That's
remember
right.
that? Yeah. Now that was the starting of the Lewis.
But then after the Georgia thing, well then live television opened and we were on every morning at 6 or 6:30.
Now y'all, when I was drafted, we moved to Asheville,
North Carolina.
You were still in service, right?
Because he got out after we'd been up there in Asheville just a little while, and then it was Howard and me and Gussie and Stella and Eloise and Bobby Ray. And we did live television every morning, 5 mornings a week.
Oh, Lord.
Every morning, and that lasted a year, and it was killing us all. And the girls was, they got families, they got to do this, they got to do that. So we said, okay, let's move them all back to Evansville. We all moved back to Evansville. And then, man, I got Ricky and Vicky, and I can't travel, so I started staying home.
But, Rusty, you know, when you came on, when she was talking about coming to Evansville, this was an era that where you had decided that you got out of the Army.
But hadn't the group?
Kind of, but you had decided you was going to make your mark in country music and rock music with writing songs.
Moved to Nashville. I moved to Nashville in 1956.
That's the year the family group, the old original family group, broke up.
You wrote songs. They were good. They were good country songs. It just wasn't what you were supposed to be doing.
Nobody was cutting them.
That's right. And the Plainsman down in Texas called you.
Plainsman offered me a job.
And you went down.
I actually pawned an Argus C3 camera that I had bought in Korea. Mm-hmm. Bought a bus ticket and went to Dallas, Texas.
That's when it expanded, disbanded.
Right.
Gussie and Stella and Eloise.
All got married.
No, they went to Evansville and started
an upholstery shop
called the Three Sisters Upholstery. Vestal and I went to Madisonville, Kentucky, first time we ever saw that little old town. And we went there and started a revival, and the people wanted us to stay and start a church. You remember, that's where it came from. The Life Temple Church started there.
That's where I met my bride.
And you met your bride then. And we stayed there 30 years.
Revival is here today. Lift your hand, let me hear you say, Holy Ghost, take over now. Take us up to the higher ground.
You want to have revival? You want to tear down the walls that's built by sin? Show the devil he can't win. Right up and shout out loud. Revival.
Revival from the new Happy Goodman family album, The Reunion. With the departure of the Goodman sisters and Rusty now with the Plainsmen, the group was a trio again. When we come back, we'll hear how the Goodmans got their first recording contract and finally gelled into the four members who had become known the world over as the Happy Goodman family. Stay with us.
And you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends as we highlight this radio special produced in the early 90s to promote the new record for the Happy Goodmans titled Reunion. Moving along with the stories of Howard, Vestal, Rusty, and Sam, here is segment 3 on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Welcome back to the Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special. In the early 60s, Howard and Vestal were pastoring the church in Kentucky. Rusty was with the Plainsmen, and Sam was selling insurance. Well, God was about to surprise all of them.
Able, my God is able to take care of me. Able to understand all of my needs. He is the light that leads me through my darkest day. When I'm not able, I know he's there.
I came up there to Madisonville.
Right.
61 of them.
I'll never forget when you came
with
in.
The Plainsmen.
Oh.
And with the Plainsmen, we sung at your church.
Yep. Yeah, a little church then. Huh?
And then the next day, you and I, Howard, was sitting in your living room watching black and white TV.
Yeah.
And they made the announcement from Channel 13 in Bowling Green. If anybody out there knows of any talent.
Yeah, think about that.
That would like to perform on television, please contact us at this number, blah, 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 blah. I said, you guys ought to go over there. Now, I'm still with the Plainsmen, remember?
Yeah.
I said, you guys ought to go over there and audition. And remember when we went over, they loved you.
They eat it up, didn't they?
Howard said, you reckon they'd really like us? Yeah, well, man, they loved y'all. The three of you.
Yeah.
The trio. Sam, Howard, and Vestal.
I never will forget, Rusty, when you came then. You remember the time you came and God was really blessing us at that little church. But you came in there. And you didn't have money to really do anything with.
Had a few bucks.
But anyway, you came in there and just, we got the organ, came the day you got there. You'd never played an organ.
No.
But you learned good, and it went on, and anyhow, but the first thing you said there said, let's go to Nashville and make a record. And I said, Rusty, they ain't nobody would sign.
You know, out there on that old organ at that little old church, I wrote...
The Answers on the Way.
I wrote The Answers on the Way. I wrote Who Am I?
Yeah.
I Wouldn't Take Nothing From a Journey.
I Wouldn't Take Nothing From a Journey Now. That was one of the first ones I wrote.
That's right.
On the organ. And then that was in 1963. Then we got the recording contract.
Yeah.
In 64.
Rusty... you knew this Sims. But we first went down there, and we tried everybody in town.
Oh, well, we first went
would
to
nobody
John T.
record.
Benson.
John T. Benson, he wouldn't
Junior.
Record. Yeah. Nobody record us. They didn't know we could sell any records. I didn't know we could either.
Then I told you of a guy that I had met while I was with the Plainsmen.
That's right.
His name is Russell Sims.
Yes.
And Russell,
he'd take a chance on a three-legged horse.
Yes.
He would, wouldn't he?
So, yeah. And we went to talk to Russell. And, you know, and Russell told him, and he had heard us sing. He said, well, Rusty, if they're as good as you say they are,
yeah.
Now, what he said.
That's what he said.
He said, I'll sign him. And this was 1964.
Right. But he said,
I don't have the money.
He said, I'll need $600 for the musicians
and
studio.
He said, I'll pay for the studio time.
Yeah, he paid for that, but he needs $600 for musicians.
We didn't have $600.
No. I went back to Madisonville and a friend in the church. I said, I want you to sign a note with me for $600. I'm going to make an album. And they did. And the title of the album was I'm Too Near Home.
That was the first of more than 20 albums the Happy Goodman family has recorded so far. Let's listen to another song from their new reunion album. It's called Sweet Morning Song.
Your presence dear Lord, is all that I need to follow your footsteps wherever they lead. Day after day, my soul longs to be led by your Spirit and caught up in thee.
Sam recalls the night in 1964 when the Happy Goodman family returned to the Ryman Auditorium.
We went out there, Rusty, and we done them too near home to turn back now.
Right.
And destroyed that auditorium. Yeah. It was utterly pandemonium. Wally had just asked us on the air, would we come back and be his special guest next first Friday night? Or, you know, mm-hmm. We told him, yeah. We came in there and we had 400 Two Near Home albums. We took that 400 albums out on the edge of that stage. And there was all these pretty record racks out there. And these people had pretty displays, you know. And they were just, boy, and they sung. I love to hear them sing. But when we sung them Two Near Home.
Everybody there could sing better than we could.
Right.
Well, they had good musicians.
We sung Born to Serve the Lord and I'm Two Near Home. And when we did, they turned the intermission time loose. And Rusty, I thought people was going to hurt us and these other people. And finally, Jake, I never will forget Jake. I think his toupee even got on crooked that night. But he backed up, Rusty. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. So let's take our record rack down. And he took his record rack down and moved backstage. And he come back. And Jake's always been Jake was never a man of a lot of words. No. I mean, if he said anything, you couldn't hardly understand him.
No.
He was the original Mumbles, I think, for Dick Tracy. But anyhow, he said, you know, them people know what they want, don't they?
Remember the night that we came to the singing here in Nashville when they, what was the agency that started the Jubilee?
Showbiz.
All of their crew were at that concert.
We didn't know that.
We didn't know they were there.
We would have been awful.
We would have been petrified. But their crew was there to decide they wanted a family group for the gospel singing Jubilee. And the other family group was the Segoe Brothers and Naomi.
That's exactly right.
And they listened that night, and we didn't know they were there. And the Happy Goodman family and the Segoe Brothers and Naomi, and that night they decided that it would be the Happy Goodman family.
So when the Jubilee was organized in 1965,
right,
we were all sitting around tables at the old Noah Hotel downtown Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
That's where our first rehearsal was held, back in one of the back rooms. The Florida Boys, Dixie Echoes, the Happy Goodman family.
And the Couriers, right?
Uh-huh. And among that group of people sitting out in the restaurant was Gerald McCracken, and Marvin Norcross, president and vice president of Canaan Records, of the new Canaan Records.
Sims Records still never did rise enough with enough of finance,
with the demand,
enough of money to promote the Goodmans.
Right.
And finally, then we tried to get another label. We tried then to get Benson to take us again.
Right.
And John T. come up to the house and said, well, will you give me a mortgage on whatever you got here.
Guaranteed to sell so many records.
Guaranteed to sell so many records. I said, John,
we'll hold the title of your bus.
Yeah. If we get a bus.
We should have given him that.
Yeah.
That's when we began to talk to the people in Atlanta that owned Sing Records.
That's
and
right.
It was the Lefevers.
You're right.
And they were very, Sing
You're
Records
right,
was
Morris.
A very profitable company.
Good
they were
company.
Signing everybody.
Yeah.
And they offered us a good bit of money to sign with them.
And we went to Memphis.
Yeah.
And we were in the Peabody Hotel in Memphis.
Where the ducks are,
yeah. And you and Howard were in a room negotiating with Marvin.
Gerald,
Marvin and Gerald.
Marvin and Gerald.
And Maurice and Urias Lefevre for Sing was down in another room, and you were going to go and negotiate with them.
And we didn't plan on both of them being.
We didn't know that both groups were going to be there. We were going there to meet with one. I don't even remember which one.
You know, that day we signed an agreement.
That day.
We signed an agreement just on a rough piece of paper with Gerald McCracken that we will not talk to any other record company. We will not make any other negotiations.
No more negotiations.
No more negotiations.
This is going to be it. Word.
That is the time then that we became involved with Word and Records.
That must have been a good decision for everyone. The Happy Goodman family is still with the Word label, celebrating their silver anniversary this year. Let's hope they have many more years of singing great songs like this one, Standing in the Presence of the King.
Today I found myself in a most unusual place. All at once I was standing face to face with someone I knew so well, yet I had never seen. I was standing in the presence of the King.
Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special will continue.
Well, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends as we feature another radio program from the early 90s, a radio special produced by Word Records. It's a promotional piece to promote the new record at that time, Reunion, by the Happy Goodman Family, Sam, Howard, Vestal, and Rusty. Now back to the final segment of Reunion with the Happy Goodman Family. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Hi, this is Dolly Parton, and I just want to tell you that the Parton family is happy that the Happy Goodman family are finally back together after 10 years. I love the Happy Goodman family, and you are going to love these songs.
Here in our final segment of the Happy Goodman Family Reunion Radio Special, the Goodmans reminisce about some of the notable people they've met and look back at God's hand on their ministry. But first, Rusty has written a song that looks squarely at the present and the problem of the homeless.
A worn-out coat he neatly folds, and he puts it in the place where the shadow of the steeple will rest upon his face. The choir sings, the church bells ring, people gather round, they just shake their head as they walk away from the figure lying on the ground. While in the shadow of the steeple, someone's dying. Oh, does anybody care?
But Rusty, that 65 up through to 1980, the Happy Goodman family enjoyed a success that to sit here and try to reminisce all of it.
We can't do it.
Well, it would just be impossible. You'd
mind-boggling,
isn't it? The Dinah Shore Show from Los Angeles.
Four times we
did that. Yeah, and rubbing elbows with superstars that would just fall out when they heard us sing.
Thought we was great. Don't tell them no different.
We was on the Dinah Shore Show, though, and they was trying to set the lighting, remember? And we tore into Canaan. I'm living in Canaan now. Mm-hmm. And, boy, we was burning the wind. Singing that song, just tearing it up. And the boy that was fixing the lights up on the catwalk, he come down and laid down on the floor in front of us.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Till we got through singing, and he said, I ain't never heard nothing like this. And he said, I just couldn't set them lights. I had to get down here and wait till it's over with.
You know, it was during that time.
Studio.
Yeah.
It was during that time that one of the real popular television programs came on the air. And it was a 24-hour program, bought their own satellites, you know. And the Happy Goodman family was doing it quite often. If y'all would remember, we were doing the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And the host of the show ran over to us one day. We were singing, I'm Living in Canaan Now. Mm-hmm. And he said, not only is this my favorite group, But he said, you'd be surprised at people that love to hear the Happy Goodman Family. He said, we just got a call the other day from Perry Como's wife. Wants to have the Happy Goodman Family on, and said Perry Como and his wife said, you're not having the Goodman Family on enough. I thought this guy was nuts.
So many times we ran into Hank Williams. Sang a lot of dates with Hank Williams, and we did a concert date then in Dallas, Texas, at that big barn. What was it? A cow palace or something?
Cow barn, cow palace.
Something.
Whatever. That's not what
it's called. Hank, Leon, Texas, we were supposed to
be. Hank was there, and we did a concert out in the pasture at De Leon, Texas, for WB Nowlin. I ran into Minnie Pearl just a few weeks back at the grocery store, and Minnie Pearl says, Vestal, you remember us going out there and being out there in that pasture? I said, Minnie, do you know how many years that's been? She says, but I remembered, and you could hear y'all singing for miles.
You know, Howard, our music has reached deep into a lot of hearts. Even now, we was in the studio making that first album, What a Happy Time. There was a young man that had been in the studio all night. We was at the old Columbia Studios. We was in the little one. You remember that, Rusty? They had the little studio downstairs.
The little studio.
He come down the stairs, and the best I can remember, he didn't have his shoes
on. He had his shoes on.
Had his socks on.
And his
black shirt and black pants.
Sat down
in the corner, and long black hair. He sat over there, and we got through singing. He said, I sure wish I could do that. And it was Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
That's right.
He said, I pray to the Lord.
I wish I could do
that.
And he's doing that now.
He is.
And you know, Rusty.
He's doing it.
I hope somewhere back in the early days of the Goodmans that we've had influence on people like that that would cause them to change their hearts.
So many stories.
Yeah, on and on you could go.
One that I recall so vividly is a little 18-year-old boy walked up backstage in California, and he said, can I borrow your guitar? I want to sing you a song.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I wanted to hear that night was a song. Because
somebody sang it to me another song.
I was wore out. I did not want to hear anybody. I wanted to get on my bunk on the bus and go to bed and go to sleep. But I reluctantly handed this kid, he was 18 or 19 years old, I handed him my guitar, and I said, let me hear your song. And he sang, there's a lighthouse on the hillside.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows it was Ronnie Henson. Now, I could have told him, I'm too tired, but I told him, I said, son, that's a good song. Let us take it with us and record it, and we put it on our next record.
Yeah.
Now, talking
of course,
about Ron,
one of the best songwriters that there is.
Now talking about Ronnie Henson, he's got a song
on this new album. He'll come as no
surprise. He'll come as no surprise.
Brand new song.
It's a great song.
We've heard the wondrous story. We believed it every word. Accepting Christ the Savior, our hearts have been assured. And now we're working in His kingdom with our eyes upon the clouds, listening any moment to hear the trumpet sound. He'll come as no surprise. He'll break those eastern skies. Our long-awaited flight will lift us high. Surprise!
Blackwood speaking, and I'm happy to tell you that the Happy Goodman family are back together again. Isn't that great news for gospel music fans everywhere? You know, the Happy Goodman family have been a great force in gospel music for many years, and I'm happy to see them back together again.
And they are back in a big way. But their 10-year sabbatical has given the members of the Happy Goodman family a chance to step back and see how God has guided them all these years.
We didn't understand all of the handiwork of God. Of course, we can't understand it now, or we'd be as smart as God. But God had a purpose for us to diversify. That's the way they would call it on the stock market, wouldn't it? We reached...
Good words.
We reached in the past 10 years 4 times as many people as we would have reached collectively.
Yeah.
You see, as the four of us trying to hang together and going against the will of God. Interested the millions of albums that were sold, and I'm talking about collectively.
Did you know in 72 we received a plaque from Word?
Still right? Got it, yeah.
That says, this represents 2 million sales.
2 million sales.
This was in 1972.
And you know, Rusty, when this, we saw what was really coming, I think, and God helped us see that the commercial aspect of gospel music was fixing to get out of hand. And I think that then he really laid his hand on our lives to further our, not our singing careers, you know what I mean? But the ministering aspect of each, the four individuals that sit here, in doing something else other than just walking out on stage and seeing who could hit the highest note or the lowest note, or Howard and Vestal, you know, Howard and Vestal knew that God had something more for them to do.
1980.
And they just went right ahead and done it. And then...
That's when the family really left.
Well, me and Rusty was going to try to hang it together. And we cut a couple of records, you know, for Word.
And they were good.
After that, good records. But Howard, the family wasn't there. And I'm talking about the family of these four.
And it never has been with me and Vestal.
We were in Cleveland, Ohio. And I had a little group of young people that are singing that came and sang there. And they said, "You Happy Goodmans caused us to want to sing."
Right.
So God grant that this album caused a lot more people to want to sing.
And sing gospel music.
Don't give up. Keep heading for the heavenly shore. Don't give up. When you knock, he will open the door.
Jesus made a way for you to go through. Praise him, he will give you life anew.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
What do you think about that song, Howard? It's a good one, ain't it?
It's a great, great song, Rusty. I really like it. It kind of says something for the Goodmans, don't it?
I think you're right.
We can't afford to give up now.
We never will give up. Sam, we've come a long way, haven't we, honey?
You got that right, Vestal. You know, as a lot of times we've thought about giving up, there was that something way down deep inside that would say, Don't give up now.
You know, I believe that something inside is saying quitters never win.
You got that right, Rusty. Ain't nothing like going on.
You know, I like the part in the song that says, keep heading for the heavenly shore. You see, there is a heavenly shore, and the Christians are headed that way, thank God.
Well, Howard, you know, I think the old car we used to have didn't know anything about the heavenly shore, because every time we'd get ready to go sing somewhere, the old car seemed like it never would want to start.
That's the truth. That's when we really felt like quitting, when that thing wouldn't start.
But Howard, the easiest thing in the world to do is quit.
Well, we didn't think we could make it this far, but we have.
Oh, but Paul said when you've done all you know to do to stand, just stand there.
Keep standing. That's what he said. Vestal, do you reckon Paul would have liked this song?
Bestie, I think Paul would have probably sung this song.
It's a great, great song, isn't it?
You got that right. And there ain't no way we're going to give up now.
Well, you know, singing is our life. We just can't quit.
The Happy Goodman Family radio special from 1990 promoting the reunion record. And coincidentally, I mean, you think about that time frame, the early 1990s, the Goodmans produced the reunion record. About that time, Bill Gaither and the Gaither Vocal Band producing the Homecoming record that changed the face of gospel music forever. And there's a connection somewhere between a benefit concert for Rusty, just before Rusty passed away, that brought together a lot of artists as well. So as you can see, God was working through that kind of a thing, through a homecoming reunion, a type of a celebration among friends and among great, great talent. The Happy Goodmans will go down in history as being one of the most energetic, most influential groups in gospel music of all time. And you can learn more about the legacy of the Goodmans online. HappyGoodmanFamily.com, which will take you to the Vestal and Friends fan club that is still going today, honoring the legacy of Howard Vestal, Rusty, and Sam. And if you have a chance someday to get your hands on a copy of the reunion CD, you will indeed be holding a piece of history, as we've heard today. Thanks for listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. As always, learn more about this show online at DanielBritt.com.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at DanielBritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.